hey, like, and you might even not have to have a conversation about it. Like, it might not even need to be said. It might just be something that you do energetically yourself, where it's like, oh, I can actually release that. You know, I can release that shame. I can release that anger. I can release that discomfort, because that's actually his. And it's kind of like the idea of taking, when you're taking care of someone, whether that be emotionally, you know, actually good analogy is like, if you were taking care of someone physically, like someone physically broke their arm, you wouldn't break your own arm to take care of them.
You're right.
Right? You wouldn't. No. But when we're quote unquote taking care of people emotionally in our lives, it's like we take on their emotion. Like, yes, that's what we're supposed to do. And it's just backwards.
Welcome back to Dear Polly, a podcast about sexual exploration and polyamory. This is part two of Managing Your Partner's Discomfort. I hope you loved part one as much as I did, and I hope you love part two as we wrap it up and give you some applicable tools to use in your own relationships. Make sure to subscribe so you never miss an episode. If you have a question or a topic you would like us to cover, feel free to submit it via our website at dearpolypodcast.com or on the gram at dearpolypodcast. Make sure to follow, like, and share. But most importantly, I hope you enjoy.
And I think that where we get, how do I want to like bring this all together? Is that having a boundary around, like how you are treated and what you expect in the relationship. But again, doing the work, like, why do I have this boundary? Like, for example, like, what's a concern that people have? Like, I don't want you to, here's one, that I don't necessarily agree with, but people have, is like, I don't want you to, be with people of the same gender as me.
The one penis policy.
Yes. It's like, and then people are like, oh, well, that's a boundary that I have. And then you use the word boundary to weaponize like your choices, mm-hmm. right? Where it's just like, oh, well, you can't tell me what to do because that's a boundary I have. And it's like, that's not a boundary that you have. That's an insecurity that you haven't dealt with yet.
Yes.
Like, and so really looking at why do I want this? What's there for me? What's the fear that's coming up for me? What is that? Again, getting curious, like, not that you're emotions are not moral. Like, you're not a bad person for having these emotions. And just because you're having a quote unquote bad emotion doesn't mean the situation is bad. Just because you're having quote unquote bad emotions, uncomfortable emotions about someone of the same gender being with your partner, doesn't mean that situation is bad. It just means that you're having uncomfortable emotions, and instead of dealing with your uncomfortable emotions, you're projecting out onto your partner and then labeling it a boundary. And like, that fucking sucks.
Yeah, for everyone.
For everyone. Yeah. Exactly. And because then, and it also sucks for you because you're doing yourself a disservice. You're literally cutting people out of your life, mm-hmm. because you aren't dealing with whatever's coming up for you. Right. Okay. So how do we make healthy boundaries? Right. So boundaries are about you. Right. Boundaries are not about other people. Like, a boundary would never, boundary that you have doesn't impose itself on other people. Like, my boundary around safe sex, that's about the safety of my body. Mm-hmm. Right. And it's like, and it impacts other people because then it impacts like whether or not I'm going to have sex with someone else, but it's about the safety of my body. Right. I have a boundary around like, I don't, if you're someone who is like, you have to choose me or them, like, then I'm not with you. Mm-hmm. Right. Cause it's just like, I'm not going to subject myself to the whims of like, what's the word that I want to use? It's like,
you're not going to subject yourself to the comparison. Like, yeah. Like you're a unique individual. And so is the other person.
Right.
You're not comparisons kill me.
Yeah.
I hate that whole thing. We're individuals.
Yeah. And it's kind of like in taking, it's easier to like take the charge out of it, to like think of it in terms of like friendships. And that's also like sometimes a good way to talk through these things as well. It's like, okay, well, if this person were our friend, you know, would you be saying that you can't be with them anymore?
Ooh.
You know?
Oh my God. I really like that as a practice.
Yeah. Like if this person were our friend, okay. Like, no, like you wouldn't say that. Right. And also if you're someone who like, who cuts people out of your partner's lives for being their friends, that's manipulation. Like just straight up. That's manipulation. It's just like, if you have so much control over your partner that you're not allowing them to have certain friends, like,
There's bigger issues.
Bigger issues there that we're not going to get into on this podcast. But like polyamory, like taking down, be like, okay, well, what if this person were a friend? Okay, great. And then kind of like building up, this is where you can kind of do your own dissecting of it. It's like, okay, if they were a friend, it would be okay. Okay, if we added in cuddles, would that be okay? Okay, if we added in a date night, would that be okay? Okay, if we added in this, would that be okay? And so trying to like decipher what it is that has you be a no. What about that person or about that relationship has you be a no, or has you be uncomfortable rather? I'm not even going to say it has you be a no, but has you be uncomfortable with your partner being with that person? And then this is a hard question. How about that reflects on you? Like, what about that insecurity that you have of this relationship? You're like, well, I don't want you to sleep with them. Okay. What about that reflects on you? Like, what does that bring up for you?
Mm-hmm.
That I would sleep with him. What about that? What does that bring up for you? Because it is you. It's not the relationship.
Exactly.
It's not the relationship.
I got goosebumps. this last little train of thought, this whole little portion that you're going into is eye-opening for me.
Mm.
That's really a pivotal moment to ask that question, to start with, if we were just friends, would it be okay? Well, of course it would be okay. Most people, it's going to be okay.
Mm-hmm.
When you layer in those other things and you can pinpoint at what point it becomes a discomfort and then turn that on yourself.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. That just.
Yeah. Cause like, actually I had this conversation with one of my partners the other day, because like literally yesterday, was that, cause I met this person and I like, when I say met this person on Sunday, let's be clear that like, this is like, you know, when you have like a, like an energetic connection with someone where it's like, it sparks that curiosity,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, where you're just like, huh, what is this connection that we have with this other human? And so that's how we've been approaching it. So it wasn't like I met this person and we're like, oh, I'm like super attracted to you. And like, let's get groovy, you know, like anything like that. It was like, huh, let's see what's here. You know, we're going to go on a walk on Sunday. It's going to be great. And so I was telling one of my partners about this yesterday and was like, oh yeah, I met this person and they're really cool. And like, I was kind of telling some things about him and like, and it is, I was telling my partner who identifies as a cis male about this other person who also happens to be a cis male. And he even said to me, he was like, you know, it's so interesting. And I love my partner, his name's Alec, who is cis male. And Alec is someone who does the inner work and like is very emotionally intelligent. And he does like speak about like the insecurities that come up for him. Like, he's like, oh, that's so interesting. This is the insecurity that it brings up for me. And then like, we talk about it. Like, it's literally, it's brilliant. Like this is possible. Like, these conversations are possible. I have them with my partners, I promise you. And so Alec yesterday, when I was like, oh yeah, I met this human and we're going to go on this walk on Sunday. And these are some amazing things about him. And I'm really excited to have this conversation with him. And like, I think it was like 10 minutes later, Alec was like, you know, it's so interesting because I don't feel jealous with your other partners that are female. He's like, I actually got a little ping of jealousy when you were just sharing about this human a minute ago. And I was like, oh, wow, that's so interesting. And he was like, yeah, isn't it? And like, and it was just like this curious conversation about a feeling that he had. That was it. And he was like, yeah. He's like, I don't think that I need to do anything about that. He's like, but I'm going to monitor that. And I was like, I appreciate that. Thank you.
That gave me goosebumps too. You can't see them.
But it's like, look, like it's possible. It's possible to have conversations about your feelings. And when we take out the morality, like there was no morality about Alec feeling jealous yesterday. Zero morality. I didn't have anything about it. He didn't have anything about it. It was just a feeling that he had. And we were like, oh, isn't that interesting that came up for you? And he was like, and I was like, do you need anything around that? And he was like, no, I don't think so. He's like, and it's not that big of a deal. And I know that it's fine. So I'll just monitor it and I'll just let you know. I was like, great. Perfect. That was it. It was like literally a 2-minute conversation about jealousy. That was it. And it was like, because there was no morality, because it was just a feeling, because it was just a thing in your body that was like, hey, is this a warning sign? And then Alec's brain now, not like whatever was triggered in his childhood or whatever, right, whatever that was, you know, it's like, but Alec's brain now was like, oh no, like I'm good. We're solid. There's no threat here. There's no saber-tooth tiger, you know, like, just like, nope. Okay. Nope. We're good. Thanks for listening. It's possible.
I do think that while that should have been my first takeaway, it wasn't the one that evoked the most emotion out of me.
But it's the one that has resonated
the most throughout this is that, like, I feel like we're trained to associate morality to emotions.
We are taught to feel
that, like, if you feel something passionately and doesn't align with me, it's wrong. Right or wrong. Right. Your right. emotion is right or wrong. Not right. Your emotion is yours. Mm-hmm. And what is causing it, but it's right or wrong. Nobody's mm-hmm. curious.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah. And the other thing about that is that I assert that since we have been taught that emotions are right or wrong, and this woman who contacted you loves her partner, mm-hmm. she probably in some way took on that his discomfort was a right or wrong about her.
100%. You can hear that in mm-hmm. how she finally summarized the question
right.
and asking, is it okay to give him the veto power, or is she supposed to challenge his discomfort? Like, the fact that she's questioning that mm-hmm. shows that she, one, deeply cares about him,
right.
and two, does question whether or not his discomfort makes her choices right or wrong.
Totally, 100%.
Yeah.
Right? When it's just his emotions.
Yeah. not to discredit his emotions.
No.
But to like.
But they just are. Like if they, yes. if his emotions were marbles in his pocket. That's fantastic. But he has marbles in his pocket. That's awesome. You know what I mean? Like, great. Fantastic. It's beautiful. Nothing invalid about marbles in the pocket, but they're his marbles in his pocket. Not your marbles in your pocket. They're his marbles in his pocket. And not to say to be like, you know, dispassionate about people's emotions. Like you can still be curious. You can still be like, oh my gosh, let me look at your marbles in your pocket. Oh my God, they're so beautiful. You know, like Alec yesterday pulled out the jealousy marble and was like, oh, look, this jealousy marble came up for me. And I looked at it with him. I didn't take it from his hand. I looked at it with him and I was like, oh, wow, isn't that so curious? You have that jealousy come up. I'm like, do you need anything about that? You know, do we need to talk about that? You good? And he's like, huh, no, I think I'm just going to put the jealousy marble back in my pocket because I actually don't think I need to do anything about that. Huh, great, cool.
I love this. I love
this. Yeah. And that's it. And again, it's just like, and it meant nothing about me that he had that come up for him. And it honestly meant nothing about him either, that it came up for him either. Like it was just something that came up.
So question. What if her partner's not as cool as your partner? and he is struggling. And from the conversation that I had with her, like to my understanding, he doesn't want to shut it off. He recognizes that for the betterment of their relationship, an open relationship is going to be most beneficial. And also I understand that like a good portion of the time, he's actually okay with it. Mm-hmm. And that there are certain instances where he's not. And from what I can tell, she hasn't been able to identify like a theme as to when he's uncomfortable with it. Like a one penis policy kind of thing.
Right.
What is something, and I'm just trying to like, you know, just try to collect things, think of questions that could be asked. What is something that she could do when this comes up to help him or help them work through those specific moments?
Yeah. So I think that one thing that she can start doing is to start to separate what is her emotion that she's feeling and what is his emotion that she's taking on, right? Like that's a really good practice. Just like when you start to feel an emotion, you're like, okay, is this emotion mine or is it my partner's or is it my mom's or is it what I've been trained to emote?
Or am I making it up?
Right. Or like what, whose emotion is this? Okay. This emotion is mine. Okay. Whew. Okay. So I'm having this emotion. Got it. And then do I need anything about that right now? Like, am I in a state where I can have this conversation? Like give yourself the grace to not always have to have the answer for your partner, because it sounds like one of the things that she's doing, and we definitely have a tendency as humans to do this. And I think especially in like, you know, like more like cis, like heteronormative relationships, where women have a tendency to do this for men, where it's just like you put your hand in his pocket and grab out his marbles and try to figure out what to do with them.
Yeah.
And so it's like, give him back his marbles, give him back his emotions. And this is everything that I've shared on this topic today is a process. There is nothing that I have shared today that you are just going to like master as soon as you hear it.
Yeah.
Like,
oh, for sure.
Yeah. Like every single thing that I've shared today is like a practice to take on. And so first step, identify what emotions are mine, what emotions are his, and give those emotions back. And I don't mean like throw them back in his face and be like, you've been making me feel angry. You know, like not like that. But
you're like, here, I think I might've taken these from you. Yeah.
Not like that. More like, hey, like, and you might even not have to have a conversation about it. Like it might not even need to be said. It might just be something that you do energetically yourself where it's like, oh, I can actually release that. You know, I can release that shame. I can release that anger. I can release that discomfort because that's actually his. And it's kind of like the idea of taking, when you're taking care of someone, whether that be emotionally, you know, actually good analogy is like, if you were taking care of someone physically, like someone physically broke their arm, you wouldn't break your own arm to take care of them.
You're right.
Right? You wouldn't. No. But when we're quote unquote taking care of people emotionally in our lives, it's like we take on their emotion. Like yes. That's what we're supposed to do. And it's just backwards, but we don't see it that way. Right. And so, but I want you to think about it in those terms where it's like, if I take on his discomfort, it's like me breaking my arm because he broke his arm. When it's actually like, if I break my arm when someone else has broken their arm, now how useful, like how useful am I to this person? Not useful. Now we both need medical care. Like, so he's having his emotions. Stay over here with your emotions. Be the solid ground. Be the, you know, and then if something comes up for you, you know, take care of that. Take care of yourself too, because you can't, you know, help someone else again with a physical ailment, right? Like if you got sick suddenly, then you would probably like call their friend, call their mom, call someone, be like, hey, I just got really sick and my partner has a broken arm. Can you come over and help? Right. Mm-hmm. And so that's like a therapist or a coach. It's like, hey, my, you know, partner is dealing with this. And I am also dealing with this and I don't have the capacity to hold all of it myself. Can you help me? Right. Like really just, if you think about it in the physical realm, it makes so much more sense. So that is my like first steps. Notice what's your emotion. Notice what's his emotion. And allow yourself this, like, notice what you can take on and then be clear when you can't. And they, like they said, they already have like a couples therapist. Mm-hmm. So awesome. Like they, you know, she has someone.
That's so good.
So great. So awesome. Yeah. And so like, call them, be like, I think I'm taking on too much of his feelings.
I might've taken his marbles out of his pocket.
I might've taken his marbles out of his pocket. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to. I didn't know. So yeah, start there. Start to disentangle.
I 100% feel like I learned a lot from this. And surprisingly enough, I hope this doesn't come across the wrong way. I loved this question, but I didn't think that I would learn as much from you. Oh, that sounds terrible. That's not how I meant it.
No.
What I mean by it was I went into it pretty confident, thinking I'm a way better communicator. And then you actually made me see things from a very different perspective. The way in which you kind of interpreted things to the physical, when you took things that are emotional and imaginary and put them in a physical context, it made it so easy to relate and see some of the issues in it. And I have definitely walked away learning a lot from this episode. And that is why I love doing this. Mm. I feel like I'm a better
you're
person
so
and
much.
A partner.
Yeah.
Like, I love it. Thank you so much.
You're so, so welcome. Thank you for reflecting that back. And thank you for asking the questions that you did, because that, I mean, that's what had things come out of my mouth, you know?
I love doing this podcast. I love it because I hope that I'm reaching other people and making a difference. I know that every episode makes a difference in my own life. And I'm so grateful for this experience. Thank you for coming on tonight.
Yeah, you're so welcome. Thank you for having me on. It's always a pleasure to, I mean, like I do, I just get over the moon. Like whenever you ask me, I'm just like, yes, oh my gosh, I totally want to be, I brag about it. I'm like, I'm on the Dear Polly podcast.
Well, and for my listeners, anybody that doesn't know, she has her own podcast. I will also be putting links and all of that in the information. So make sure that you check her out. She's got a wonderful podcast. She's got some great guests. She's moving and shaking and making a difference in the world. So she's spreading love.
It's what I do.
And we need it.
Yeah, it's what I do. And it's what you do.
I'm trying.
You're succeeding.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Is there anything else that you want to close this out with? The stage is yours.
Can I plug myself?
100%.
Okay. Beautiful. 100%. Yeah. So for those of you who don't know me, my name is Elizabeth Cunningham and I am a relationship coach. And if you got something out of this conversation today and you really connected with me, I have a course called Love Deeper. And I help people in polyamorous relationships or wanting to be in polyamorous relationships really go from either not knowing, unsure, stuck, to really being able to build, have, and create the relationships that they truly want and are truly amazing. And that's what I help people do. That's what I love doing. It is my heart, my soul, my passion. And so if this is something that really speaks to you, please, look me up. I have a free, discovery call. So that way we can really discover like if it's really right for you. Yeah.
Make sure that you send me all the links you want in it. I'll put all of them in there. She's a great resource. I appreciate, every time she's on my episode and, thank you so much for tuning in. I hope everybody has a wonderful week.